Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. Has God been good to you? Give him what he deserves if he has. How many people did Taste of Christmas? Anybody do Taste of Christmas here? Hey, for all you guys who have served, you have done such a beautiful job. Praise God for what you've done. If there's anybody here who has not been, tonight is the night to see it. 7 o'clock, you do not want to miss it. You guys who have it's just beyond expression beautiful what God has done. If you're a part of the Christ United family and you have seen it, please make sure you stay away because... We have been turning away about between 250 and 500 people a night, every single night, and we need to save every seat. Yeah, give God a hand for that. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Okay, so now, how many people enjoyed the horses? Did y'all enjoy the horses in the show? That was so cool. All right, I got a horse story for you as we're going into Christmas here. And here's a horse story. When I was a little kid, I was in the fourth grade, fifth maybe, and I got a horse. And it was kind of mine and kind of my brother's. And there was a little bit of argument over whose horse was it. You know what I'm saying? And so I kind of wanted to be mine. He wanted to be his. But her name was Apache. She was a beautiful white horse. And we rode her during the summer. I actually broke her, you know what I'm saying, and got her where we could ride, which was pretty cool for a little kid. And so I just thought she was awesome. But then, you know, toward the end of the summer, kind of lost a little bit of interest. And then went into the winter. And as we went back to school, and I got busy with school as a little guy, and I'm playing sports with friends and hanging out with friends and doing all that kind of stuff. And a long period of time went by, many, many weeks. And I was playing football in the bottom of our yard, kind of late fall. And as I was playing, the ball fell over across out of our yard. Now, we lived on a farm that really wasn't being used much at that time. And there was an old barn over there, and that's where Apache stayed. And when the ball fell, it fell onto the path to the barn. And I went to pick up the ball, and when I went to pick up the ball, I saw that the grass on the path was about 8 or 10 inches tall. And all of a sudden, I was just stricken with this fear. It just crushed me as I thought about it. I thought, nobody's been on the path to the barn, and Apache's in the barn. And walking that path to that barn was like I could feel the weeds against my legs as I was walking over there, scared to death of what I was going to see when I got to the barn. And it was as bad as I could have ever possibly imagined. She was just bones and just skin hanging on the bones. And she was alive but barely standing, and her lips were swollen because all around the edge of the barn she had eaten the wood around the edge of the barn to try to stay alive. And there was rain that had fallen into a dirty mud puddle, and that's what she was drinking out of. And something just, immediately I started rationalizing why I hadn't done what I should have done. I had just completely forgotten about her. Can imagine that. I'd forgotten that she was there. But also, she was really my brother's horse. Now I really want her to be my brother's horse, right? And it was really his responsibility, and he's the one. And I thought he was doing it. I thought somebody else was doing it. And then there was this other thing. When you're in the fourth grade or fifth grade, if there's something to be done, your mama tells you you've got to do it. You know what I'm saying? You're told you have to do it. If it's brush your teeth or make up your bed or cut the grass or do anything, you're told you have to do it. And nobody had told me to do it. And so I was wrecked when I realized what had happened. But what's really interesting about this, you may wonder, what's the correlation to Christmas? Here's the reality, guys. Christmas, if there's ever a time of year that is really about the Son of God, but then about children, it's Christmas. And when it comes to children, the most vulnerable little people on the planet, the way that we respond to the children in need is very much the way that I was responding to Apache. We do the same thing. And I want you to think about this. I forgot they were there. I mean, for me, I forgot Apache was there. But you know what? The fact that I forgot Apache was there did not stop her from being hungry, did not stop her from being afraid, did not stop her from starving nearly to death. The fact that I forgot her didn't mean she wasn't there, but I just forgot she was there. And here's the interesting thing. The fact that we have forgotten about the children who are starving or in danger of molestation or in danger of abuse or have nobody to love them or hold them, and the fact that there are thousands upon thousands of those children, and the fact that we forget about them does not mean they're not there, right? And so just like Apache, I've forgotten that they were there. And then I thought someone else was caring for them. That's what it was for Apache. I thought somebody else was caring for her. Surely somebody else is. And that's exactly how you and I feel when it comes to these children. It's somebody surely is doing something about this, right? Don't we all feel that way? But the reality is nobody was doing it for Apache. And the reality is nobody's doing it for thousands of these children. Nobody's doing it. But everybody assumes that somebody else is doing it. What everybody should do ends up being what nobody does, right? It's just the way it works. And then I thought somebody else would tell me it was my responsibility. That's the way I was. I thought, well, if I'm supposed to do this, if it's really my responsibility, somebody would have specifically said, it's your job, do it. And you're sitting there thinking, but I've never been told that it's my responsibility. And so I don't think there's really any child that's starving to death because of me, because I've never been given that responsibility. Well, let me tell you some truths that are extremely important. One is this: God has not forgotten that they're there, right? And that's good news, right? It's really good news that God has not forgotten all of those children. In fact, it's in His very nature to care about the orphan, to care about the child who doesn't have anybody, because He even adopts us, right, as His own, and He cares deeply for them. In fact, Psalm 68 verses 5 and 6 says this: a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. It's His nature to be a father to the fatherless. It's His nature to set the lonely in families. He cares deeply for them. Agreed? Everybody knows God cares deeply. But here's the thing, is that what you and I think is, okay, it is therefore, since God's the one who cares and He hasn't forgotten them, God is the one responsible and He's taking care of them, not me. Nobody's told me it's my responsibility, but here's the reality is that He has told me that it's my responsibility. He has. In James chapter 1, verse 27, we're told this: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What's the first thing out the gate that He says? This is what I accept as being you being who you're supposed to be, is looking after orphans, caring for those precious children that don't have forever families, that don't have somebody to love them and hold them and nurture them and feed them. That's what we're called to be, and that's what we're called to do. And He has told us it's our responsibility. And you think to yourself, if you're like me, you think, but wait a minute, why would God entrust life or death, listen, life or death to us, to me? He's entrusting that to me. When you look back and I think about my mom, I was a fifth grader or fourth grader or fifth grader, and life or death was entrusted to me. Do you get the picture? Whether or not I fed Apache would make the difference in whether or not she lived or died. And it had been entrusted to me. Now, the truth is I wasn't grasping that responsibility. I was totally irresponsible, but I had been given a responsibility, and that responsibility carried the power of life and death in it. And in the same way, you and I have been given a responsibility, and God has entrusted us a life and death responsibility. Listen, if we don't do it, nobody does it. I want you to think about this idea that I could not conceive that something I wasn't doing. Because I didn't do something, there was terrible suffering going on. And in the same way, we forget that because we're not doing something, there's terrible suffering going on in the life of children. And He said, look, I've entrusted that life and death responsibility to you. And so He tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, He says this: when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, He says, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then He'll say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. But he says, then the righteous will reply, but Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and take care of you? And he says, then the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. When you talk about the concept of the least of these, he's talking about a lot more than just children, but no more important and no more significant and no more dead on target for that statement than children. They are literally the least of these. They are the least powerful, the least capable. They are the ones who are most vulnerable to all the things that we mentioned. They are vulnerable to abuse. They are vulnerable to heartbreak. They are vulnerable to disease and sickness and hunger. They're vulnerable. And the least of these, he said, whatever you've done for them, you've done for me. But then he said, he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and you did not look after me. I was in prison, and you did not come to visit me. And they also reply, but Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? He says, and he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Get the picture? He's saying, look, I've entrusted to you a responsibility. And look, when you don't do it, when you and I don't do it, literally somebody goes hungry. Literally, somebody goes unloved. Literally, it goes undone because it's been entrusted to me. Does that make sense? That horse suffered because I didn't do something. And in the same way, a child suffers when I don't do something. We had a child. We sponsored a child all the way through. And over the years, have sponsored different children. But you know, from little child all the way up until they graduated, who are in a third world country and in a difficult situation. And then we picked up another child. At one point, and he was a little boy from Peru. And I remember when we were sponsoring a couple of missionaries and giving our tithes and caring for a lot of people, and money was real tight. And I was just in a place where I was saying, we just can't afford to continue to sponsor this little boy from Peru anymore. And so I contacted the agency and just said, I'm sorry, but we can't continue with our little boy from Peru. I can see his picture in my mind right now, standing in a little street in Peru. I'm going, we just stopped. And to me, I was back in that old way of thinking that surely somebody's going to, right? I mean, surely he's not going to go unsponsored because I stepped out. Somebody's going to step in, but did they? The reality is that my decision not to, there's a literal boy I can see in my mind right now, a little boy who may very well not have, and others who surely will not have, because I didn't. Now, guys, for everybody who's going like, thanks a lot, Jeff. Made it a Merry Christmas for me today. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's how I wanted to feel when I left here. Here's the truth. Is the reason Jesus tells us this is not so we can leave guilty and miserable. It's so that we can actually make a shift. He was telling this to people to give them a heads up, to say, look, man, you actually have the opportunity to bless me, to bless others, and to be blessed. Do it. Get into this. And so he actually begins by saying, what? Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me, right? So he's saying, I want you to be a part of that blessing. That was the big, beautiful thing about it. And so listen, the reality is what I do for a child will bless them. Man, it'll bless them so much, but it also will bless Jesus. He said, whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing it for me. So you're going to bless them. You're going to bless me, but also what else? It's going to bless me. Because he says, you're going to be blessed. You who are blessed by my Father, you're going to have blessings here and you're going to have blessings there, because the blessing and joy of being a part of making a difference in the life of a child is one of the greatest blessings you'll ever experience in your whole life. Now, y'all, when it came to this whole deal of me and Apache, it has a very, very happy ending. It has a very painful middle, but a very happy ending, because from that moment forward, it was never again. Early on, when I was asked to feed the horse, it was like, I've got to. I got to brush the horse. I got to feed the horse. I got to take care of the horse. It was a burden to me. After I saw where that precious horse was because of my neglect, from that point forward, it was never again a burden. You know what I'm saying? Never again a burden. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there feeding her. I wanted to love her. I wanted to pet her. I wanted to stroke her. I wanted to do everything I could to make her well again. And praise God, she got well again. And she got healthy and she got strong. And I worked on a fence around 20 acres of land. And it had a spring on it that had constant flow of water. And I got her and we rode and she was just beautiful. I was so proud of her. And I felt so filled with joy over Apache from that point forward, and it was never again a burden to care for her. Does that make sense? And in the same way, God's saying, look, these little children are not a burden that I'm saying, you got to do this or you're going to go to hell. He's saying, they are precious, and the blessing that you will experience in reaching out to make a difference in the life of a child is the greatest joy you're going to experience in your life. So do it. Step into the blessing. Bless them. Bless me, God says, and be blessed yourself by being a part of this. And some of you have jumped in and become a part of it in so many different ways. Like if you know Jason and Rachel Kapp, and they're over in Japan serving there. And if you ever met these precious little children, Logan and JoJo, just absolutely adorable times 10, right? And those guys, some of you are actually supporting their ministry there. And so you're actually helping take care of these little guys, but you're also taking care of others in Japan who are there. If you've been in Taste of Christmas in years past, this guy used to always sing. His name's Ricardo. And Ricardo left here and being a part of our Taste of Christmas and singing and be a part of our church so he could move all the way to France. And what he went there to do was work with a new church, starting a thing just like our big house, which reaches who? Children, right? And God's just working through him. And some of you are supporting Ricardo right now. And you're a part of making a difference in the life of a child. And it ought to give you great joy to just know there are kids that know Jesus in France because of what you're doing in this process. If you know Vanessa, Vanessa was down in the Dominican Republic and now she's going to Honduras. And in Honduras, she'll be there at an orphanage is where she'll be staying in Honduras. And then she'll be working as a nurse in addition to that. Let me tell you an example of kind of experience that you get to be a part of. She walked into that orphanage, and on her way into the orphanage, there was a little girl who has a terrible condition where she gets cancer anytime she's in the sun. She's lost both of her eyes. She is just the most pitiful little thing that you could imagine. But as Vanessa walked into the room, she heard a new voice. And she said, this little girl worked her way through the crowd of kids and got up to Vanessa, grabbed hold of her hands, and soon was dancing around in circles, singing Spanish songs. And Vanessa had the privilege and joy of dancing with that little girl and feeling that love and giving that love to that precious little baby who needed it so much. And every one of you who support Vanessa, support that. And you're a part of making a difference in the life of a child. If you know Jeff and Amber Borgman, then you know their precious children, Olivia and Ty, are absolutely adorable. But at the same time, they got these precious birth children. They sponsor children all over the world. We went first to Uganda years ago, and then in Rwanda, I met one of their little guys right there. They sponsor 4 children in addition to their birth children that they're making a difference in their lives. That little guy has those shoes because Jeff and Amber learned he didn't have shoes and gave extra to say, get some shoes on his feet. But how many people are saying like, I could do that? How cool would it be to just be able to look down at a picture of a kid or go with us when we go to visit again and just say, man, I made a difference. How many of y'all sponsor children? Raise your hand if you're a sponsor of children. Look around you. Look at all the people who do that. Those who sponsor, give God a hand if that blesses your socks off to be able to do that. It's awesome. Now, and then you can go beyond that and you can go to the place of actually foster care or adopting. The first family that started doing this that I got to know was the Waltons. And Mike and Donna are just awesome people. And they had great children. So Jonathan and Kyle and Christopher and Hannah, beautiful children of their own. And then they said, but we need to make a place for some children who at the time didn't have forever families. They didn't have somebody loving them and nurturing them and caring for them. So they brought Daniel in and they brought Angela, if you've ever in the Taste of Christmas, here she is right here. You want to see adorable times 12 right there. Stand up and give them out. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. But anyway, they brought these precious children and little Zachary, you know, just got great, great, great precious children, deeply loved by God, and they've got family. But I just want to, when you saw her stand up, didn't you want to take her home? Right? Then you want to take her, it's like, God, thank you for the privilege. These guys hadn't got a burden. They've got a privilege. They've got a joy that floods their soul because they're doing what they were put on the planet to do. They're making a difference in the name of Jesus. And then Steve and Danielle Clark, even though Danielle had gone through near-death experience with leukemia, and they had this adorable and precious daughter, Stephanie, they were saying, we can do more. And there's a child out there that doesn't have a forever family. And so they get Jackson. And if you ever met Jackson, he rocks. He's such a cool kid. And he has a forever family because they stepped up and said, we need to do this. We need to make a difference in the life of a child. And then if you've never met Brenda, she was single at the time. And yet she said, there are children hurting around the world. There was a little girl in Guatemala named Allie. She brought Allie and made Allie her precious daughter. And if you've ever met that girl, your heart is just blessed beyond belief. When they first got here, for those of you who were in the church at the time, you remember that she had surgery and was in a full body cast for a long time and brought here in that process. And God has just made her grow up into the most beautiful young lady. And then when God brought Darren into their lives, imagine what it would be like for you to be Brenda and to have little Allie standing there pouring the sand in at that ceremony and saying, this little girl has a forever family. She's loved, and I receive and give love, and we share that, and we've got full-on family because somebody stepped out and said, God's given us that, right? He's given us that. And then you think about Debbie and Frank Cody, and they've fostered probably 12, 15, I don't know how many, maybe more children than that over the years that they've been doing that. And in the midst of that, one of those precious children that they were fostering is Brenda. And Brenda, we've known her from she was a little big house dancer when she's a teenager. And now she's 26-year-old, beautiful, awesome woman. And she's on staff here at the church. And she lights this place up every single day. And that difference that God has made in our lives through Brenda and in Brenda's life through Debbie and Frank, how many people like to be in on that? You know what I'm saying? Like, God, I could be a part of that. And then if you know Jimmy and Colleen Sweat, they stepped up and they said, look, we're going to start fostering and we're going to care and we're going to care and we're going to love him if we have him a day or a week or a month. They had Christopher and they fell in love with this little guy. And then he ended up going back to his parents, which is so hard for foster parents. But they're saying, I'm going to love that child for whatever the window is. If it's a day, a week, a month, a year, or the rest of their lives, I'm going to fill that gap. Would you foster and step up and fill a gap? And then God might bless you as he has the two of them to have like Zane and Bella, who are now there, and we just consecrated those precious babies. Zane and Bella, how many people look at those guys and go like, I'll take them today? Today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they are awesome. They are such precious, precious children. But imagine what it's like when you saw them come up here and you saw the love that Jimmy and Colleen have from and for Zane and Bella. And you go, man, you mean I could be a part of that? I could do something like that? Well, I was in Costco one day and ran into this couple. And Keith and Michelle are just coolest people ever. And they're in there eating in Costco, and they got like a whole table, man. I mean, like the whole table is filled with their children. I thought first it was like a school trip, you know? And these guys are just precious. Best children on the planet. I'm just sitting there in amazement. I thought, man, when I had two children, they weren't half as together as this beautiful, beautiful family here. And then as you look up into that picture, you'll see like, Ezra and Zoe, and you'll see Ben and Violet. You'll see Ulysses and Zeb. You'll see Han. And I bet you can't begin to put the names together with the faces immediately. But as you meet those guys around here, you're going to start going, man, that is awesome. So you're going to see Alex. You're going to see Lily. And in addition to Lily, you're going to see... I'm going to get the last one. Wait 1 minute. I just know I am. I just know. Shout it out, guys. I'm waiting for them to shout it out. I got one more, and I just can't get the last one, and I can't miss the last one. But anyway, say it again. Thank you. Thank you, Owen. Can y'all give a hand to that family for the difference that they're making? Now, I want you to see this. here's what I see when I saw them at the table and I see these guys here. And you guys, and I hope all of you children are in here and that you are as a family. I just want you to say, do you get the picture that the more you do this, the better it gets? You know what I'm saying? The more beautiful it is and the more joy there is. It's like God saying, I want you to be a part of it. Start somewhere and be a part of the most beautiful experience you can possibly imagine in doing the thing that I've actually entrusted to you to do. And Andrea is a great example of that. And I love the fact that Andrea's a single woman. She started here in college. She went on and got a master's degree in teaching. And she starts saying there are children who need to be loved and cared for. And so she starts reaching out and saying, I'm going to start fostering. So she goes through the process and she begins to foster. And then she gets Victoria, this amazing, precious little child, Victoria. And while she's doing that, she goes on a missions trip. And while she's on the missions trip, she's in an orphanage. And there, this little guy, Isaiah, just begins to like bond with her, and they say, man, she hadn't done that. He hadn't done that with anybody else. And immediately she says, I got to do whatever it takes to give him a forever home. And for her, that meant sacrificing, I mean, almost like the cost of a house that has been invested to bring him home. And how many people know that that little guy is worth more than 10 houses, right? And the reality is, yeah, give a hand to that he is. And then one day, Andrea, who's already got Isaiah coming and already got Victoria with her, goes to take Victoria so she can connect with her birth brother and birth sister. And so that's Victor and RJ. So Victor and RJ are meeting at the restaurant with Andrea. And they're meeting so they can be with their little sister, Victoria, who she's got with her. And she said, while they were sitting there at the table in the restaurant, you know what? The little boys started calling her. They said, hey, Mom. And that hit me again. It was like, she said, as soon as they said, hey, Mom, I knew that I got to make home for them, right? And as you watch those little guys up here, is there anything more beautiful, more precious than those little guys? And here's the reality is Andrea, she's got a job, right? I mean, it's a job, but it's a delight. It's life, man. It's the greatest joy that you can ever begin to imagine having. And so I want to ask you to just think about it, about the significance of the day you might be like. It might be like a day about 13 years ago. We have some very similar to this. And Heather and Jane, are your parents also children? You know that alien, what I'm talking about, they are precious, beautiful. But everything else, look, God has entrusted us responsibility, and they're in need of it. We need to begin giving it. So they started foster care, and they went through the process, and they got a baby, and they cared for that baby for a little while, and that baby went on. She grew so close, Tabitha did, to that mama, that when her mama had her second baby by birth, she was in the delivery room to help that mama. So she was helping families be together. It was really beautiful. And then God did a really, really cool thing, and that was bringing KK into their life. And I just want you to see Jamie and Tabitha, and there's KK right in the middle. And when God brought her into their life, He also brought her into our life. And I know you've seen that baby around here. It's like to see her is like brings light and joy to you like nobody's business. It's been, what, like 13 years? 13 years. And how would it be for you to be that brother or that sister who made a place in your family for that little girl, or to be that mama and that daddy to say, man, we got home. And then, guys, if you've never had a chance to meet Jordan is awesome. He's such a cool kid. 10 years ago, they got Jordan and brought him into their family. And Jordan, around, I remember one day he had lost a little car in here, and I was helping him find the car. And somehow in the midst of the process, he just like turned around and grabbed me and hugged me. And I thought, that's the most precious little hug I don't know if I've ever had a more precious hug. And I was thinking, that's what Jamie on a regular basis just is able to put his arms around that little guy and say, I'm sharing the love of Jesus with this little guy, and he's got a forever family because of us, because we did what God entrusted to us to do. And so for you, I just want to ask this question. And somehow I'm, yeah, there we are. I'm asking you to consider, is it time for you to step up and take a step like Jamie and Tabitha did? This couple right here, just recently married in a blended family, and they're so blessed. This is Tiffany and Andrew. And if you've never met Haley, the little girl on the left, Haley is like a comet. She's awesome. She is so precious. And little Haley, and then God blessed them to have Ellie, their own little birth daughter, together. And they've got this family. You could say we're all whole, we're complete. But at the same time, Tiffany is a physician's assistant, and so she sees the children who are in need. She sees the children who are unloved. She sees the ones who are abused. She sees the neglect, and she sees the deep, deep need of so many. She sees the Apaches, you know what I'm saying? She sees the things that we forget, and she says, somebody, we all have got to do something. So they've already stepped up, and they're through the process of getting approved for foster care, and very soon they'll be fostering. And I asked Tiffany the question, can I put the picture up with the children because those are your birth children? And she said, well, they're going to be doing it too. And I thought, you know, that's true. It's so beautiful because this family is making a place for little children who need family. And so I just want to ask you to think about it right now. So many of us right now, we're thinking, I don't know that I can afford to do that. There's a wonderful quote. It's by a guy named Forrest, and can't remember his last name. I can't remember it. But he was a Boy Scout leader, and he said this. He said, 100 years from now, it's not going to matter what my bank account was, or what sort of home I lived in, or what kind of car I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child, is the way we say it. He was actually thinking important in the life of a boy because he worked with Boy Scouts. And he just made a difference. And I just want to ask you if you would make a difference. Would you just start doing whatever God prompts you to do? And so if God puts it on your heart, adopt. Trust Him and step out. If a single mom can jump out and adopt a child from the other side of the world, I just want to ask you, could you adopt? If you can't adopt, then foster. And it's a challenge, but it's so desperately needed. Right now, there are babies, there are children waiting to be fostered and loved and need somebody like you. And if you can't foster, sponsor. And if for any reason you can't sponsor, then support. If you can't support, then volunteer. But here's the thing. Whatever you do, do something. Do something. I want to ask you if you would stand, and I want to ask that as these guys come out to lead in this next song, I want to ask if God prompts you that you would come forward and you would commit to doing something, whatever it is that God would have you do.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.